Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
I will be appearing as a guest at Wealthion's conference called What's Coming Next? And that is going to be recorded on tomorrow, Thursday, and then there'll be a live Q&A session Saturday. But before anybody else gets my thoughts, I am going to share them with you on today's podcast. So here we go. First of all, a recession is coming, and it's going to be a bad one. And here is the evidence. At over 100 basis points, the spread between the 2-year note and the 10-year note yield curve is the most inverted today since 1981. And matter of fact, 50% of the bond yields across the globe are now inverted. So, yes, that is a very good indicator of a recession, and the depth of the yield curve signifies that the recession is going to be brutal. More evidence. The net percentage of banks tightening lending standards is now 45%, up from minus 32% in 2021. Money supply is shrinking for the first time in history. The leading economic indicator is in recession territory. Two-thirds of consumers are now living paycheck to paycheck, and their savings rate is one of the lowest in history. Consumers have suffered 22 consecutive months of negative real income growth and are turning to credit to stay alive. In fact, they've added $398 billion in new debt during Q4 of 2022. The total debt outstanding is now $17 trillion. That increase in debt was the fourth highest for a Q4 in the past 20 years and is nearly 4.5 times larger than Q4 2021. We have record corporate debt to GDP ratio, a record national debt to GDP ratio. January layoffs, as reported by Challenger, Jay and Chris Gray and Christmas, were 136% higher than December, up 440% from January 2022. And that was the highest January number since 2009. March is the one-year anniversary. This March, this month, marks the one-year anniversary of the start of the most aggressive Fed tightening cycle in history. Rate of change from 0 to 5% and higher, plus quantitative tightening. And the lag effects thereof are about to bite rather deeply. And Jerome Powell made it crystal clear at yesterday's testimony and today's testimony before Congress that rates are headed even higher than he thought they were just a few weeks ago. So that leaves us with a rather dynamic situation as far as growth and inflation are concerned. We have disinflation happening next, then deflation before intractable inflation takes hold. Let me explain. The base effects of service sector inflation year over year during Q2 of this year portend for the rate of change of inflation to disinflate below 5%. However, that will still be more than 2 times the Fed's target. If the Powell Fed continues on with QT and rate hikes, credit markets are likely to freeze. And that will cause shadow banking system failures and will force a return to ZIRP and QE. And then everybody will know there's too much debt in the system for interest rates to ever normalize. But that freezing up of credit markets will cause a truncated period of sharp deflation and plunging asset prices until Powell is successful with reliquefying the banking system. And that is going to lead to, I believe, intractable inflation. In fact, inflation rates so high in the United States that they've never even before been imagined could happen here. But there's really nothing new here. This is all part of our government's inflation, deflation, roller coaster ride. It's just becoming more, it's becoming more exacerbated and more intense over time. And that fiscal and monetary largesse has spoiled investors. I mean, interest rates have been falling over the past 40 years from 20% to 0%. In fact, 10 of the last 14 years, the Fed funds rate had a zero handle while QE was happening at the same time. And that caused home price to income ratio and total market cap of equities to GDP ratios to go to all-time highs and light years above historical averages. Investors have become accustomed to and have relied upon ever-expanding asset prices based on a falling cost of money. That is now over. Okay, let me touch on real estate now. Real estate prices are down 4.4% from their June peak. Existing home sales are down 37% year over year in January to the slowest pace in 12 years. Mortgage purchase applications fell by 42% year over year, which is a 28-year low. And mortgage rates are at a 20-year high. This is the consequences of having, you know, a foray into normal monetary policy. It's not going to work very well, and it's not going to last very long. Equity valuations are unsustainable. 32% of companies in the Russell 3000 are losing money. That ties a record set during the NASDAQ bubble burst and in the wake of the global financial crisis of 2008. A third of Russell 3000 companies don't make any money. GAAP earnings of the S&P 500 during Q4 of last year were down nearly 30% year over year. This is before a recession begins. The S&P 500 dividend yield is just 1.6%, and the earnings yield, the inverse of the PE ratio, is 5%. Well, guess what? Short-term treasury bills are 5%. There's really not much reason to be overinvested in the stock market right now. That's why our portfolio is 60, 70% bonds. I have some advice for the Fed. Mr. Powell, if I was on the panel, I wouldn't ask questions like Menendez asked. Well, you know, there's X number of Hispanics in this country, and why aren't there more Hispanics on the Federal Open Market Committee? I'm Italian. I would never think about asking why aren't there more Italians on the FOMC. I just want the best people on the FOMC, and I assume some of them should be Italians somewhere down the road. But then Menendez asks, since there's no current Hispanics on the FOMC, well, does that mean that he needs a special monetary policy for Hispanic people? I mean, imagine a special interest rate policy for Italian Americans. Well, I would think that would be a disgrace, a shame on my people. We're Americans. We should have one monetary policy. One monetary policy that makes sense. So, Mr. Powell, instead of attacking jobs and consumers and raising interest rates to the moon, why not attack the gamblers on Wall Street first? And here's my evidence for this statement. The Fed's balance sheet, which represents the base money supply, which is the building blocks of the broader monetary aggregates, was $4 trillion pre-pandemic. And then it goes to $9 trillion by 2022, and now it's $8.3 trillion. Why didn't you, Mr. Powell, and why didn't anybody ask this question on Congress, either the Senate or the House side? Why are you not more aggressively destroying money supply, which is the progenitor of inflation, instead of worried about raising interest rates, concentrating on that? That question will never be asked because not anybody really knows what that question means. Hardly anybody who we have elected to sit in Washington, D.C. understands that question. But that would be a far better fight against inflation than just the blunt force instrument of hiking rates. So we have an unsustainable debt situation. Nearly 20% of all federal revenue now is spent on interest payments alone. There's $2 trillion deficits over the next 20 years as projected by the Congressional Budget Office. There's an extra $20 trillion in new debt, and that assumes no recessions, and that has average interest rates at 4%, which they're not going to be 4%. They'll be a lot higher. And that is going to be in addition to the $32 trillion national debt that we now have. So default is the only option, and will it be inflation, or will it be restructuring, or will it be both? And I think it's going to be both at different times. So this is why we need active management, people. Phase one of the grand reconciliation of asset prices is behind us, and that was the repricing of equities due to higher interest rates. The more intense phase two reconciliation is coming, which will involve equities and real estate prices plunging due to the economic and earnings recession. Getting the timing correct is possible, and we plan on doing that as best as possible, but it is crucial. The inflation deflation economic cycle model is only flashing yellow right now, not red. Falling credit spreads and easing financial conditions are happening now, unbelievably so, but that's what's happening. I don't want to get overly bearish unless the market's ready to tumble, and neither would you want me to do that. So the time to get overly short is coming, but not now. And then there will be a time to prepare for much higher rates of inflation and surging asset prices, which means we're going to have to own base metals, energy, precious metals. We're going to have to be short bonds instead of long bonds like we are now. We're going to have to short the U.S. dollar instead of being long the U.S. dollar like we are now. And the bottom line is this. It's very comforting to have a proven process that works.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.